around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We are live on Facebook. We're live on KECOFM.com. We're live on KECOFM radio. We got it going on today. Anyway, hope you guys had a great weekend. Currently in, let's see here. Whoops. There's the mezzanette. Currently, we are 91 degrees, 41% humidity, and temperatures in our surrounding areas. Let's start and see who's the hottest. Hollis, Oklahoma. Harmon County, 94 degrees. Eric's 93. Shamrock's 93. Wheeler's 93. Everybody's 93. Even Arnett, the home of the famous Lori Campbell, is 93. But Camargo's got you by 1 degree at 94. Woodward's at 93. Everybody in the state is somewhere between 90 and 95 degrees. So it's going to be a warm day. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up. Just FYI, coming up in Beckham County, August 24th. From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Beckham County Activity Center there in Sayre is the Wheat, Cattle, and Risk Management. One CEU will be available, so please have your applicator number when you come. You want to call an RSVP, please call the Beckham County OSU Extension Office with Mr. Greg Hartman at 580-928-2139. Speakers, they'll have speakers from OSU on wheat herbicide and production topics, wheat fungicide, wheat pasture and fall nutrition, and economic risk management. So anyway, sign up. One CEU will be available that day. Well, let's check out what's happening with the futures on the grains. Corn, September 626. Everything is in the red today except for, well, cattle are now. That all changed in the last 30 minutes. December 628. March is 635. Corn for May is 638. Soybean, September 1492. November 1417. January 1423. And March of next year, 1425. Soybean meal, September 451.90 a short ton. October 409.40, December 403.40. Soybean oil, September 69.42 cents a pound. October 67.96, December 67.59. Hard red winter wheat, September $8.81, December $8.84. Oats for September is at $4.60. And December 429. Actually, oats are the only thing in the green today. Cotton for October is 114. December is 108. And I got some numbers for you here in a little bit on cotton. Some shipments, sold bales of cotton from last week. FYI on some other commodities. Crude oil is down. It's $89.29 a barrel. It's WTI. And everything's in the 88 to 89 range there for the next 4 or 5 months on the trading. Natural gas is up. September's 887, October's 885, and November's 892. It's just a little FYI. Let's check out cash grain prices in Oklahoma and Texas right now at the elevators. Well, let's start right here. Hard red winter wheat is $8.24 a bushel. Corn $7.12. Milo's at $6.32, and soybeans cash is $14.62 a bushel. Well, let's see what's happened in the world over the weekend. And Soybean and grains plunged in overnight trading in the first session since Friday's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates report was released last Friday by the USDA. Soybean production is now forecast at 4.531 billion bushels in the 22-23 marketing year that starts coming up here in a couple weeks, September 1st, up from the prior outlook of 4.505 billion bushels. Ending stockpiles are now pegged at 245 million bushels, and that's up from 230 million previously forecast. The agency's corn production outlook was lowered to 14.359 billion bushels, and that's down from 14.5 billion a month earlier. Ending stocks are now seen at 1.388 billion bushels, and that's down from the 1.47 billion projected last month. The USDA also raised its outlook for global soybean production to 392.8 million metric tons, and that is up from 391.4 million a month earlier. Ending stocks are now seen at 101.4 million metric tons, up from 99.6 million tons. The world corn production outlook, however, was lowered to 1.18 billion metric tons. Sorry, I had to laugh. It says bullion, but it's billion. Anyway, I can read through that Jim Bonnick stuff. Down from 1.186 billion in July, the government's ending stocks forecast is now at 306.7 million metric tons. That's down from 312.9 million from last month. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 43.5 cents to $14.10¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $9.50 to $408.40 a short ton, while soybean oil futures lost 2.28 cents to 65.69 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery plunged 17¼ cents to $6.25 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery lost 18¼ to $7.87¾ a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 22 cents to $8.67¼ a bushel. Money managers raised their net long positions, or bets on higher prices, in corn. Beans last week, according to the data from the Commodities Future Trading Commission, investors held a net 134,763 future contracts in corn in the 7 days that ended last week on August 9th. That's up from 118,000 contracts a week earlier and the largest such position since July 5th. Speculators held 102,354 soybean future contracts last week. That's up from 100,043 contracts this previous week and the largest bullish position since the week ended June 28. Investors were less glamored from wheat last week. Hedge funds and other large investors held a net 7,651 future contracts in hard red winter wheat. That's down from about 9,800 contracts a week earlier, and the smallest bullish position in the grain since September 1st of 2020, a couple years ago. In soft red winter wheat, speculators increased their net short positions or bets on lower prices to 24,081 futures contracts last week. That's up from 18,890 contracts a week earlier. That's the largest bullish position since February 15th. Well, extreme heat is expected in parts of Oklahoma and Arkansas. Imagine that. Hot weather is again expected in parts of eastern Oklahoma and almost an entirety of state of Arkansas, according to the National Weather Service. Temperatures will reach in the triple digits this afternoon in Oklahoma. Heat index values are forecast to hit as high as 108. Hot temperatures and high humidity may cause heat illness if occurred. Those working outside are advised to take caution and don't be drinking pop out there. Drink water instead. Further north, in parts of northern Iowa and southern Wisconsin, a few thunderstorms are forecast today, though no severe weather is expected. Storms will again fire up in the area later this week and last likely through from Wednesday through Sunday. So it looks like they're getting a little relief up there. Well, when I come back, we'll talk some livestock. We'll look at the futures on livestock, and I got some reports from Texas and Oklahoma from the sale barn receipts last week, and we'll check that out. And of course, we got to look at the U.S. drought monitor later on, and I also have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 8th. 1,597 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 360 brought 228. 5 at 511 brought 185. 14 at 740 brought 173. 13 at 807 brought 175.50. 20 at 845 brought 170.50. 4 head of heifers at 353 brought 185. 13 at 525 brought 172. 4 at 603 brought 177. 6 at 728 brought 164. 17 at 922 brought 156. Butcher cows were 35 to 100. Butcher bulls brought 35 to 117. Pairs were 960 to 1225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 5th. 1,634 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 255 brought 216. 5 at 433 brought 169. 6 at 466 brought 187. 4 at 510 brought 171. 9 at 725 brought 169. 4 head of heifers at 266 brought 203. 5 at 416 brought 179. 10 at 516 brought 164. 3 at 550 brought 165. 9 at 677 brought 154.50. Butcher cows were 32 to 95.50. Butcher bulls brought 71 to 117. Bred cows were 800 to 1325. Pairs brought 500 to 1335. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, Mrs. Lori Campbell informed me that she doesn't know where I got the 93 degrees at up there at Arnett, because her truck says 96. Well, I want to know what her truck says now, because now the temperature up there says 92. So it's dropped a degree. So anyway, I don't know where the Mesonet Center is there at Arnett. If I was guessing, it's probably up north of town, because that's a higher point. But anyway, that's where it is here at Elk City. It's out west of town. Eric, I think it's down south of Eric, and that's all I know. Every now and then you'll see the Mesonet. You can see where they got those going on. But they're all over. Texas fired up theirs this year in full blast. And I got to learn how to mount it on my computer screen. screen and be reading off its too. It's a little different than ours. Kansas got theirs up going, their mezzanette deal going up good and blast hard and fast, I mean, and it's pretty similar to Oklahoma's mezzanette. So anyway, they do a great job. A lot of information comes off the mezzanette center. So anyway, what do we got? Let's check out the cattle futures. Live cattle for August, 139.87. October, 143.90. December live cattle, 149.87. And February, 154.40. Feeder cattle, August, 179.47. September, 183.05. Lean hogs, October, 145. December 90.77 and February 93.025. All right, let's check out what's going on in Oklahoma and Texas at the sale barns on the average last week. In Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $6 higher. Trade activity and demand was moderate to good. Spotty thunderstorms benefited local pastures that have finally turned green this late summer. Supply included 76% feeder cattle, 20% slaughter cattle, 4% replacement cattle. Of the feeder cattle supply, over 600 pounds was 45%. All right, so they had 6,854 head go through the sale barns that reported in Texas compared to the week before. That was 4,275. But pretty close to what it was last year at 6,878. So that was pretty close to what's happening. Let's check out a few prices real quick on the steers. Let's check out something. Okay, they had some 235 pounders. Steers brought $230, $218.80 average. 324 pounders brought up to $239, $221 average. 426 pounders, big pot load there, brought up to 224, 210.81 was the average. Some 500 pounders was bringing up to 191. 600 pounders, the highest I see in there was 189. 700 pounders up to 174.50, and 800 pounders weighing like 859 was bringing $170 a pound. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers were $1 to $5 higher. Feeder heifers, $2 to $4 higher. Steer calves, $2 to $6 higher. Heifer calves, $4 to $8 higher. Demand very good for all classes. Cattle futures higher this week, and slaughter cattles rose sharply, reaching $140 in the south and $147 in the north. Spotty rains around this past week, and temperatures have cooled some and more normal for this time of the year. Slaughter cows were $3 to $5 higher. Slaughter bulls sold steady. Demand very good for slaughter cows despite another week of large cow numbers. Supply included 86% feeder cattle, 11% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Feeder cow supply over 600 pounds was 54%. 33,267 head was reported. Compared to the week before, it's 31,326, and this time last year was 27,018 head went through the reporting cell barns. Let's check out a little bit of what's going on with their prices in Oklahoma. Some 220 or 257 pound steers were averaging 219.60. Some brought up to 225. Some 300 pounders unwinged, $1.95, and then we get into some 300 pounders. 325s brought up to 233, and some 326 pounders brought weights brought up to 207, and those were unwinged. And we had some 378s brought up to 225, and some 384s brought up to 213, and those were unwinged. And there's a lot of unwinged being reported in Oklahoma, not so much in Texas, but like I said, Friday when we was talking about this, reading the Woodward livestock auction deals, and it looks like everybody's just pulling them off the mamas and bringing them straight to the sale barn, no weaning going on. It's something to think about. You don't know what it's going to cost to wean those calves per day. and if they'll bring that money back, or you're just wasting 60 or 90 days. You don't know until you do it. Some 400-pounders unweaned brought up to 206, and then there was some 418s, 231.50, but value was added. 486 unweaned brought up to 205, and then we had some 520s brought up to 206.50, and some 547 that was thin-fleshed, 208.50, and then the last but not least, they had some 528, big load of 528-pounders brought up to $1.98. 189.93 average, and they were unweaned. So anyway, there's your sale barn report from Texas and Oklahoma last week. Let's check out the drought monitor, the new one. Some of you probably already have. From what I'm seeing in on the Oklahoma side of the state line, everything basically south of I-40 is in the D3, extreme drought. Up north, there's a little bit of white up there, kind of right there where little Lori Campbell lives. There's a little white there, so she's not in a drought right in there. It's on the north side of the river, so it's got to be close to Arnett or Shattuck. But everything else is in the D2, D1 mode. There's some red up in the panhandle of Texas or of Oklahoma, and also in the very northeastern corner, there's some D3 going on up there. In Texas, man, there's not one drop of white on the drought monitor there. It looks pretty bad. A lot of D4. I'm going to guess by just looking at this map, probably a third, maybe less, maybe just a fourth of the whole state of Texas is in a D4 drought. And some of it's right close. And actually, now that I see that, if I can bring that map up, yes, down in Harmon County, and parts of Jackson and a little bit of Greer County, we got some D4 in there. I just zoomed in on that and seen that. So anyway, hopefully with the weather forecast we got coming up, I think they've taken chances of rain, the big chances of rain this week, kind of out of the forecast, but there's still pretty decent chance going on. But next week looks really wet in parts of Oklahoma and mainly out here. So hopefully it's a long ways away, but I'll keep you updated as long as I can. When I come back, I want to talk about farm dogs. There's getting to be a lot of farm dogs, the guardian dogs, they call them, around all parts of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle with all the goats and sheep coming in. But I think guardian dogs are just cool dogs. We're going to talk a little bit about that and some more about livestock and news out of Massachusetts. They're holding off on their little animal law that was going to kick in until the Supreme Court rules on in California where the hogs got to have so many square foot in that whole nine yards. And I'll cover that coming up here pretty quick. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that. I understand it. I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Let's see here. Whoa, my mezzanette changed channels on me. I'm at Woodward now. Let's get back down here in Elk City area. I think it's, come on, always something. There we go. Bam. Push the right one. Well, there ain't much difference between Woodward and Elk City. Currently, it is 95 degrees. Heat index is at 97. Humidity's at 37. So if you're baling hay, especially alfalfa, you can quit now. You're shattering the leaves. I can tell you are, even from inside the radio station here. Okay, the winds are out of south-southwest at 17 miles an hour with wind gust up to 22. It's going to be a good day to switch out the pump and the irrigation well. Well, as you guys know, I always like to inform you what's going on around in the vegetable stand world. I'm not sure that lady's out there at Hutch's West Side today, so I'm not going to say much. But the farm market in Mangum is located at the Mangum Feed and Farm Store. Right there on East Lincoln. And anyway, they get food and produce and canned goods from local people and sell it there in their feed store. So if you get a chance to check it out at Mangum. Also, here in Elk City, go talk to Vicky at the George Creek Market right down there on South Randall, just north of 20th Street. Anyway, they always got lots of okra and squash in there. Might be low, you never know, but you just got to stop there. But it is organic and no herbicides or pesticides, so that's good. But also inside there, if you've never been in there, I've been in there, they sell meat in there. They got it in the freezer there, homegrown meat in there. She's got all kinds of spices and canned goods in there. Check it out. It's pretty cool in there. And yes, she just texts me back. They have okra, squash, tomatoes, bell peppers, and mini bell peppers in there today. So check that out at George Creek Market right there on South Randall and here in Elk City, just north of 20th Street. I don't know the exact address. It's not hard to find. It's just right there. It's in the building with SEI Agritech. So how'd that go? So anyway, they're one of the sponsors of the show. So check them out. Well, farm dogs. all kinds of stuff going on with farm dogs. I love my dogs more than people know. They get to go everywhere with me if the temperatures are correct. Zoe, my wire-haired pointy Griffon or slash Griff, she's a very cold weather dog, so I took her last week over there to move the side row in the afternoon. I won't do that no more. Anyway, she's too hot. She got too hot on me. Anyway, livestock guard dogs, LGD, are becoming an increasingly popular tool in livestock management. A well-trained LGD will alert handlers to threats, ward off predators, and give ranchers a peace of mind. And, you know, one of my favorite ones that I'm used to being around. I know there's a lot of other ones out there and a lot of shepherds and stuff. But the Great Pyrenees, they're just cool dogs. They're big. They're kind of intimidating, but they're pretty good with humans. Choosing a dog for the task requires a lot of thought and research. An LGD is not a pet. You guys got to remember that. You don't want them to be sleeping in the bed with you at night and everything. LGDs are bred for a purpose. They must live with your livestock, not with you, and they can get bored and cause trouble without a job to do. They can be extremely vocal, especially at night when predators loom. LGD generally weigh 100 pounds or more and have a thick coat that can hamper their ability to live within warm climates. They typically have a peaceful demeanor and less provoked by predators. Pups need to be with family members as part of their training. They may perceive other dogs as threats, so you got to be careful there. A good LGD will take a low energy approach with a low chase and prey instinct. The dog will use a series of escalating measures, barking, charging, and ultimate confrontation, and their skill tactics to protect stock. Pairing a pup with an older, experienced dog is a great training strategy. Unless you're acquainted with a reputable breeder, the breed websites are a good place to start for your search. Most have breeder registries as well as descriptions of the breed. Here's the fun part, coming down to the prices. A registered purebred pup with proven pedigree and health screenings will cost $750 up to $1,600 depending on the breed. Be sure to check with your insurance company before making a purchase. Some will not insure certain breeds. Older dogs and rescue dogs are an option, but a purebred pup may be the best for the first-time LGD owner. Crossbred dogs' behaviors can be unpredictable, especially if one of the breeds in the herding breed, such as a German Shepherd, Doberman, or Rottweiler, are a hunting breed like a Boxer. These breeds like to herd stock and will chase them if improperly trained. Both males and females make good LGDs if they are neutered. Intact females can be distracted when in heat or with pups. Intact males are slower to mature and more likely to be aggressive with other dogs. Spend time with your pup in the selection process, says LGD expert Jan Doner, author of Livestock Guardians. Avoid pups that show aggression when you handle them, or spooked by loud noises, or those that demand attention. Well, that's all three of them. That's good dogs there. Anyway, recommends her. Full-time guardians should be independent-minded problem solvers who are not dependent on human companionship. A pup should investigate a ball or an object thrown in its direction, but not continually chase or fight with other pups over it. LGs are bred for outside living and require little care. Brushing can avoid coat matting, but shearing is not recommended as the coat helps protect the sun as well as cold. Likewise, washing can strip the coat of its protective oils. In other words, you want the dog to stink. It's going to look like it lives out in the wild. Here's the thing. It's like that Griff that I have, Zoe. I see lots of people with dogs like her that have their coat sheared because they are hot-blooded. That's the worst thing in the world that you can do for a dog like that, unless that dog stays inside with you all the time. But they have an undercoating too. And those coats are put on those dogs for a reason. If you want to trim the hair around their eyes, go ahead. Other than that, leave the natural coats for dogs. If they're inside, outside dogs, either one, leave them alone, please. It does more harm than it does good. Most LDG breeds have historically existed on marginal diets, high-quality commercial food, or a carefully balanced raw dog food diet is good. Beware of overfeeding, as it can lead to health problems such as joint and pain, bone pain, even as a shortened lifespan, warned Bry Wizard, who's for the Love of Livestock blog. As with all stock, make sure your dog has access to plenty of clean water. Then just let the dog do its job. How about that? Anyway, I think these guardian dogs are cool. Vaughn down south of here, south of Retrop, down in there in the breaks, he's hardcore. Those pups either make it or they don't around his house. So anyway, it's pretty cool. So, but they're good dogs. Anyway, they got lots of sheep in that area down there and goats. So they need good dogs. I mean, you can only go out there and get rid of so many coyotes. So anyway, I love to watch those guardian dogs work. Anyway, we'll be right back after this with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, August 9th. We sold 1,080 cow bulls and kids. Thursday, August 11th, we sold 2,788 kids and feeders for a total of 3,868 cows for the week. Extremely good killing market. Cows topped 107 with their better killing cows bringing 88.5 to 107. Then cows brought 50 up to 81.5. Bulls brought 99 to 118. 2 to 4 year old bred cows 950 to 1285. With a 5 to 8 year old bred cows 925 to 1125. 2 to 8 year old pairs 1225 up to 1460. Extremely good feeder market. 2 to 5 higher again. Instances 10 higher. 3 to 4 weight steers 176 to 213. 4 to 450 171 to 206. 5 to 550 191 to 195. 6 to 650 steers 180 to 189. 7 to 750, 178 to 183, 8 to 850, 172 to 177, and our 9 to 950 steers, 168 to 174.75. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 184 to 187, 4 to 450, 174 to 179, 5 to 550, 173 to 194, 6 to 650, 178 to 185 and a quarter, 7 to 750, 166 and a half to 170.50, 8 to 850, 145 to 166, and our 859 weight heifers, 154 up to 159. Extremely good market. Killing cows topped 107. 5 to 550 heifers topped 194. 8 to 850 heifers topped 166. And our 7 to 750 heifers topped 170.50. Better prep check them cows. Lots of open cows showing up. Too much heat, I guess. For this Tuesday, we got 30 extremely nice black bred heifers. They're AI to start Kevin January the 20th. They're 1,100 pounds, Gardner breeding. We also got 70 other bred cows in pair. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
According to the Gabe Gadget here in our studio, it's 93 degrees here in Elk City. Elk City Mesonet is showing 96 with a heat index of 98. And let's just check out some more local temperatures in our listening area. Basically, everybody's anywhere from 94 degrees to 98 degrees clear up there and around Buffalo. Everybody, it's just hot. How about that? Our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, hot, 99 for a high. I bet as quick as we got to 96, I bet we meet the triple digits tonight. Warm, 74. Tomorrow, hot with a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Slight chance, that is, 100 degrees. Tomorrow evening, 68 for a low. That's when the cool front moves in. We're going to have north winds tomorrow evening. 20% chance of storm, 68 degrees. Wednesday, 86 for a high, 20% chance of rain. And this has changed since the show started. They had 30% tomorrow evening, and Wednesday it's now back down to 20. Wednesday night, very cool. You might have to get a hoodie out. 62 degrees, partly cloudy. Thursday, 20% chance of thunderstorms, 88. Friday, it starts warming back up, 93, but we have a 20% chance of thunderstorms there. So there's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And well, anyway, this crazy story out of Massachusetts delays their hog welfare law for the second time. Massachusetts officials will wait for a Supreme Court ruling on California's Proposition 12 animal welfare rules before enforcing similar regulations that would ban the sale of pork from out-of-state farms that do not give hogs enough room to lie down, stand up, or fully extend their legs, or turn around freely. My question is, if that does go on, how are they going to make sure out of state? Are they going to send them pictures on Facebook, or what are they going to do? It's just a joke. The world is becoming a joke in some categories. The delay announced by National Pork Producers Council was part of a federal court order to resolve a lawsuit filed last week by restaurant associations and the pork group. The Massachusetts rules, which was scheduled to take effect on Monday, were the result of a statewide question number three approved by a 3-1 vote in 2016 with all them animal lovers they got there. State lawmakers decided last December to delay the implementation of the question for hogs by 8 months to reduce the amount of room guaranteed for egg-laying hens to 1 square foot. One legislature guy said the changes would assure the availability of essential foods. The Supreme Court agreed in March to hear a challenge to Proposition 12 by the MPPC and the American Farm Bureau Federation. They say California animal welfare laws pose an unconstitutional burden on farmers and consumers nationwide. The MPPC said Massachusetts rules would have blocked the transport of pork through the state, jeopardizing an estimated $2 billion worth of pork that moves into the neighboring New England states. Under the court order, Massachusetts would not enforce the rules against the sale of non-compliant pork until 30 days after a Supreme Court decision on Proposition 12, possibly late this year. This agreement is limited only to the pork sales provisions of question number three, and producers located in the big state of Massachusetts are still required to comply with in-state housing standards. Oh boy. Anyway, they got it going on. All right. Put this out for you. There'll be an information meeting and sign up for area youth shotgun shooting sports at Red Dirt Wednesday at 6:30 at the shooting club there north of Sayre, right there on the highway. You can't miss it. Motion Tire is sponsoring a free meal. So anyway, information meeting and sign up for area youth shotgun shooting at the Red Dirt Shooting Club there north of Sayre, going towards, what is that, 283? Headed up there to going towards Cheyenne or Four Corners up there. Anyway, on the east side of the highway there, the far north side of Sayre is where that shooting deal is. If you want your kids to be involved in shotgun shooting sports, please have them there and go to the meeting. Hey, what else? You get a free meal by Motion Tire. So anyway, it's a great deal. So if you get a chance, go check it out. How's that? Anyway, and this is Wednesday, this coming Wednesday evening. All right, what else? No more hog stories for today. Anyway, we have this story out of OSU Extension out of Jackson County. Most of it was on there. Anyway, the drought has made it difficult for ranchers to stockpile hay for the winter season ahead. Hay yields are much lower in 2022 than they were last year, and in areas of the state with the worst drought, hay season is basically non-existent. Producers don't have anything to bail up, said Gary Strickland, Jackson County, Oklahoma State University Extension Director and Agriculture Educator. They may have gotten one cutting of alfalfa and maybe a second if it was under irrigation. In the dryland fields of the southwest region of Oklahoma, summer forages such as Sudan grasses and pearl millets have emerged very little growth. Strickland took a tour of five regional counties a couple weeks ago and found field after field of burn-up grasses from the drought and the extreme heat. The feeding toxins associated with Sudan grasses and sorghum in drought is also a concern, Strickland said. We have very little wheat straw baled up due to the high wheat acre abandonment, and irrigated Bermuda grass is not producing the tonnage it would normally produce. Dryland Bermuda grass needs rains and cooler temperatures to recover before winter. And he is correct on that. The current environment of relentless heat in the evening hours has not allowed grasses to repair overnight from the heat of the day. Let's stop right there. That's what's happening to my garden. I don't know about other people's gardens. You know, 1 out of 10 gardens were producing this year, and mine was in the 9 out of 10 category, not producing. I went out there this morning before I went across the river at daybreak to move the irrigation on my millet and high gear over there. I just went to check the garden out, see what was happening. The leaves on the tomato plants are still wilted, and there's water. The ground's got plenty of water. The watermelon, even the cantaloupe and okra plants look like heck this morning. It's just, heat's got a lot to do with it. It's just one of those years. I might be in the cycle. A lot of producers say they don't have the hay to support their herds, and they've had to take cattle off pastures earlier than usual to prevent cattle from grazing the perennial grasses too low. Southwestern Oklahoma is not the only area in that crisis. Our producers are talking about feeding hay in the middle of August instead of starting in the middle of October, said Chad Webb, Noble County OSU Extension Director and Agriculture Educator. That's 2 months of feeding with less hay. The strain of high input cost and low forage supplies is tough on our ranchers. Less hay is available for purchase in drought years, and hay prices can contribute to steep input costs. Webb said that some ranchers in his county are considering planting wheat for winter forage. Others are reducing their operation stocking rates to levels that can be sustained for the rest of the summer into the fall. Paul Beck, one of my favorite guys from OSU, he's the OSU Extension Beef Nutrition Specialist, offered the following tips for developing a sustainable herd plan for the winter. For producers who usually keep or purchase stocker calves, sell them early or market them to grow yard or feedlot. When forage production is limited, these calves can reduce the culling of cows. Sell your replacement heifers. These females will not provide a marketable calf for over a year. True story there. Cull the herd to a reasonable number by selling cows that are old, less productive, or that require high nutrient levels. Cross-fence the farm now before starting to feed hay. Subdividing the farm allows pastures to rest and recover through rotational grazing. Determine how much hay you have and how much you can be fed daily for the expected feeding period. Feeding as little as 10 pounds daily per cow may require the purchase of additional hay or roughage. test hay and other roughage sources to determine protein and energy amounts. OSU Extension Specialist Brian Arnold, I hope I said that right, discusses balling summer crops for an alternative forage on OSU's agriculture televised show, Sunup. Consider planting warm season annuals as a grazing crop in the late summer to fill early fall forage gaps. Warm season annuals can produce 4 to 5 tons of dry matter per acre in 40 days when planted in late summer if you're getting rain. There's another clause to that. You got to be getting rain. Plant cool season annual grasses in pastures. Balance a supplement of feeding program that makes sense for the operation. Balance a supplement or feeding program that makes sense for that operation. Also, consider feeding some other stuff to beef cows. Has been shown to decrease forage intakes 8% without impacting cow body weight or body condition. So there you go. That's from the OSU. And it's ran into a gentleman this morning getting fuel. And he come out, and I said, good morning. He said, you Jimmy Clark? And I said, yeah. Well, first I hesitate. You got to be careful in the neighborhood I was there in Sayre. You don't want to always say who you are. But anyway, he said, I recognize your voice. I listen to you all the time. And him and I stood there for a few minutes and talking about, you know, we can handle droughts. We're used to them. We can go through our droughts every cycle, whether it's a flash drought every 4 or 5 years or a big drought every 10 years. We're used to it. We can handle it. We know what to do. But this one's different. And we talked about it. The high input cost that goes along with the I mean, look at our fertilizer, look at our chemicals. I mean, look at the fuel costs. I mean, he even mentioned to me, he said, I really can't even afford to plow my ground. And I know, I feel his pain. And I'm lucky I got a no-till drill. And it doesn't cost that much fuel for me to no-till what I have so far. But, yeah, you feel the pain. And, you know, these people with irrigation, just like that one report from OSU right there, is they can irrigate a lot of stuff and get good crops. But rainwater is so important to the crop. Just like when I was irrigating the corn down there at Granite, it looked pretty good. It was growing along, and then we got half inch, three quarters of an inch rain on it, and it came to life. You would not believe the difference that rain makes. Irrigation, but you got to go check your irrigation. You got irrigation repairs. You have electricity bills, and I know you're sitting there, all you poor people that's got irrigation. It's not all rosy with irrigation. So, yes, they'll make some irrigation will make you help with some crops and stuff, but natural rainwater will make the world of difference in your crop because you're irrigating more when you don't get rain. So your electricity bill's higher. So it's not all that good. But, you know, we were talking about that this morning right there at the fuel pump. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I said, I don't know how anybody's going to do it. It's just not him or me. It's just a lot of cost and involved. And these guys with the smaller farms, they're maybe not paid off. And you're still making a payment. And you're already getting rid of your crops or your cattle. There's a lot going on. And believe me, I feel you guys' pain out there that are suffering, and I don't know what to tell you to make it better. So anyway, you guys have a great weekend. Hope for, let's see here. We got one more text in here. If I can get irrigation, just makes the rain go further. True story. Yep. Anyway. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Be back tomorrow. God bless.